Hello, my name is Stephen Schaub, and I'm the leader of the Fidget Revolution. And today I'm going to do sort of a conclusion on Diafine Developer. For those of you that have been following the revolution here since 2005, 2006, you know I've written a lot of different articles on Diafine Developer and different ways of using it. Well, today I want to sort of summarize what I've come up with in the last decade and a half plus of working with this developer and some little tips and tricks in the way that I work to help you get more successful images using this wonderful developer. First and foremost, one, Diafine is a fantastic developer for the purposes of the hybrid workflow. If your idea is to shoot film and to scan it, specifically obviously black and white film, this should be at the top of your list in terms of developer to use. It produces a low contrast, relatively fine grain negative that has wonderful compensation quality to it. You get a little bit of a speed boost with different films. It's super cost effective. I mean, it's just, if you're working in the hybrid workflow, this really should be a developer that you're seriously considering. Two, it's extremely economical. People will tell you that Part A and Part B never die and you can just use them kind of forever. That's not my policy. My rule of thumb is, generally speaking, every year I mix up a new batch of Diafine Developer. During that year, I've processed easily 200-400 rolls of film. So I use a lot of film through Diafine Developer. So my general rule of thumb is mix a new batch every year. Three, go ahead and filter your developer from time to time. After about 50 or 100 rolls of film processed through my developers, I run it through a coffee filter, just a paper coffee filter, to sort of filter out the gunk that's coming off the film and to keep a developer really clean. It's not hard to do, only takes a minute, and just keeps your process, you know, super clean. Four, I always mix my chemicals with distilled water. Always, always, always. So when you mix up your Part A and your Part B, you know, control variability, make sure you mix it up using distilled water. Five, Diafine has a particular developer range they say you can use. Anywhere between, say, 68 degrees and 80 degrees is supposed to give you a really good negative. Well, there's a different look to the film if you process it at 70 and you process it at 80. One has a little more density and a little more contrast. So I've settled in at 75 degrees Fahrenheit just because I want to control variability and be standardized. So 75 degrees, that's my standard every day. Seven, I've standardized at one time of 5 minutes. There's no reason to do Diafine at 3 minutes and 5 minutes and 7 minutes. 5 minutes is all you need. 5 minutes in A, 5 minutes in B. You cannot leave the developer realistically in A for too long or B for too long. Because the way the developer works is, in A, the emulsion is absorbing all of Part A that it possibly can. There's going to come a point where it can't possibly absorb any more of Part A. That's about 5 minutes. And Part B is going to then activate and exhaust off the Part A in the film, and that only can go so far as well. My testing has showed that 5 and 5 is about all that's needed for all films. The advantage to this is you can standardize your process. 75 degrees, 5 and 5, and just go for it. It's awesome that way. Eight, I do a pre-wet with Diafine Developer. Even though right on the packaging it says do not do a pre-wet with Diafine Developer, you absolutely should do a pre-wet with Diafine Developer. And it's important that you use distilled water for the pre-wet. Do not use tap water, use distilled water. We're trying to control the pH here. And when you do the pre-wet, so the way that I process, I'll quickly walk you through the way that I hand process my Diafine. I generally speaking use metal tanks and reels because I just like metal better than plastic. But I will have everything warmed up to 75 degrees and I'll dump in distilled water, warm to 75 degrees, agitate it for 30 seconds, and then I'll let it sit for 2 to 3 minutes. I never go more than 3 minutes. There's really not an advantage of it. And then when I dump it out, I really make sure all the water gets out of the tank. I really shake the tank to get all the water I can out of it. So there's really minuscule amounts, you know, a few milliliters of water maybe still left in the tank, and that's not an issue whatsoever. If when you're dumping out the pre-wet, if the water is colored like dark green or blue, you know, because of a really heavy anti-halation coating or something that, you know, some FOMA films and stuff have, I will sit there and do another pre-wet until the water's totally clear. Kodak films and Ilford films come out clear pretty much right off the bat. After that, I dump in part A. Now, part A, I only do one inversion. If you look at the very bottom of the sheet, I say I do one inversion in 5 seconds when it first starts. So I start the clock, part A is dumped in, I do one very slow inversion for 5 seconds, and then I let it sit until a minute and a half. At a minute and a half, I do another inversion. I let it sit to 3 minutes. At 3 minutes, I do another inversion until 4.5. At 4.5, I do another inversion, and then I let it sit all the way to 5 minutes and dump it all the way out. Then I do the exact same technique with part B. First, for a stop bath, you just use water. Do not use acetic acid. Just do flowing water for a minute. Do some inversions. Really try to, you know, just rinse and stop all the development. And then just fix and clear and hang the way you normally do. I have found that if I do the pre-wet with distilled water, I get perfect negatives every single time. Absolutely perfect. I see absolutely no reason not to do it. Occasionally, when I don't do it, for you know, I forgot or something, I will see some uneven development, a little bit of bromide drag. And everybody that I've told to do a pre-wet has all reported back to me that it works perfectly every single time, and there's no reason not to do it. And once again, though, you have to remember what I said earlier, I dump my developer every single year. You know, I would say once you hit 200 or 300 rolls of film, dump your developer and mix up a fresh batch. You know, the few milliliters of liquid that are going to be actually in the emulsion, it's going to take a real long time to dilute out part A and sort of start cutting its development capabilities. So 200, 300, 400 rolls of film should be absolutely fine. I have never seen a problem. Now, if you look at the sheet that I'm showing you here, this gets to another thing. We're going to say number 9 here. Number 9 is that you should not do diaphine in a Jobo or continuous rotary process type developer. This is absolutely not true. It works absolutely fine in a Jobo. And you can see by the test in here, I did 3 different tests just to prove this. Row number A is in a Jobo at rotation speed 3, which is about 60 RPM. 5 minutes A, 5 minute B, absolutely no pre-wet. Row B is the exact same setup, rotation 3, 5A, 5B, with a 2 minute pre-wet. Look at the histograms. They're virtually identical. Look at the grain detail shots. They're virtually identical. The only place I see a difference is if you look at the negatives, 3200, where you did no pre-wet, has a little more openness to it, just a whisker. And if you look at the 400, it's a little brighter. What I find is that if you don't do a pre-wet, your film gets a little more contrast and a little more density. The pre-wet makes it to where it looks an awful lot like doing diaphine with hand process. So I always do the pre-wet just to keep it simple. Hold on here, my computer just turned off. There we go. Oh, there we go. Okay, I'm back. So you can use a Jobo for it. Works fine. As a matter of fact, I find that using the Jobo gives you really consistent negatives that are very, very, very clean, and are using a smaller volume of water, smaller volume of fixer, and everything. It's a wonderful way to be really fast and to do a lot of film. Sheet film is really easy to do in the Jobo this way. But once again, I like to do the pre-wet. So you might be asking yourself, what is there any reason to do this hand process? Well, if you look at row C, the one thing that I'll give C is that it has a little more compensation going on in the highlights, a little more control of those bright highlights, a little better than row B and a lot better than row A, especially at the 400. But to be honest, we're talking real small differences here. If I'm just going to go out and process 1 or 2 rolls of film, I won't even take the time to turn on the Jobo. I'll just do it by hand with the pre-wet, and I'm done 5 and 5, and it's a real fast process. If I'm going to do a whole bunch of film, like I just got back from a long trip and I've got 50 rolls of film to process, I'll do row B, because the differences between B and C are so subtle that they're interchangeable. It's just more of an effort to have to set the Jobo up every time. So rotary process works, pre-wet works. That's really it. You know, those are sort of the conclusions that I've come up with diaphine, that, you know, once again, filtering it, mixing with distilled water, standardizing temperature, standardizing when you're going to, you know, get rid of it after, you know, 300, 400 rolls of film, standardizing the time in A and B. And the last thing that I'm going to say, item number 10, is you need to determine yourself what is your personal exposure index for the film developer combination. You know, over the years, people have asked me, you know, what EI do I give a particular film in Diafine? And the problem is that what I'm looking for visually is different than what you may be looking for. So I always tell people, you can go online and all these people have posted all this information and an awful lot of it's not true as to what a particular exposure range capability is for a particular film with Diafine. Always shoot a test roll. Always verify it for yourself. So shoot that test roll of film, and then from there, you'll be able to determine what look you like. You know, I happen to like 400TX right around 1000 or 1250. I happen to like Kodak 5222, which is double X, right around 800 to 1000. Some people like a little more, some people like a little less. I happen to be scanning on an Imicon. You might be scanning on an Epson. There's a lot of variables there. So it's important that you test first for yourself and know what that usable exposure index range is. My feeling, for my purposes, is that I can shoot Tri-X from 400 out to 2400 and probably get a usable negative that I can do something with. But your results might be different. So test and verify for yourself. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great day.